I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
this
evil.
This president has a pattern at this point of either inventing or embellishing stories about his own past, his biography. He did it three times in one speech last month alone.
He said, you made the rules, and he's just following them now by not holding this initial vote for an impeachment inquiry. What do you say to that?
I say that that's hogwash. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I don't know why the press keeps repeating it.
There's no requirement that we have a vote. And so we, at this time, we will not be having a vote.
Mystery surrounds the whereabouts of China's defense minister, Li Shangfu, who hasn't been seen in public for more than 2 weeks.
Here back with some headlines. In Nebraska, a train carrying toxic acid explodes in the world's largest rail yard in North Platte.
The DA is speaking for the first time since she brought charges against former President Donald Trump. Today, we learned Trump will not be heading to trial in October, but two of his former attorneys will.
Would you do it if you became president again? Turn the indictment tables
well,
on
I
the Dems?
Well, I would think about it differently. I would have never even thought of doing it, but now you certainly have to think about it differently. It doesn't mean I'd do it because I think it's so bad for the country. Yesterday, President Putin of Russia used this as an example of what a rotten country we are, that they go after their political opponent.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Live with Jack Posobiec. Today is September 15th, 2023, Anno Domini. Folks, if you saw President Trump's interview with Megyn Kelly last night, I got to say, I loved that thing. That interview, fantastic. Got into some tough questions in there, some very tough questions, including one right off the bat, I think, where he was asked about a war with Mexico. Can we play that clip, guys? I think it's clip one. Play clip one.
We're in a war. We wouldn't be losing because I believe the number is 300,000.
But we can't have a war with Mexico.
No, it's a war on cartels. Mexico's petrified of the cartels. The cartels are running Mexico.
But if we send our troops across the southern border, you know better than I do that the Mexican president, sending, if he doesn't like it, yeah, we're in a war.
I know, but well, I'm not too worried about that war.
Absolute classic Trump. Well, I wouldn't be too worried about that war, Megan. You go and look at this, and we talked yesterday about the Democrats hitting the panic button. You talked about the Democrats hitting the panic button. Reuters is out now because I told you that the internal polling that the Democrats were looking at was devastating for Joe Biden. I said that's why we saw the White House being pushed back on by the New York Times and the Washington Post in concurrent op-eds on the very same day calling for Joe Biden to not run again. Now we've got the Reuters numbers. In swing states, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, Michigan, Donald Trump up 41 to 35. In the states that will determine the next president of the United States, Donald Trump is dominating Joe Biden. I told you. Because I said, if Joe Biden is losing to Trump in the national poll, the Real Clear Politics average, I was banging the table about this all day yesterday. I said, this is the first time we've ever seen Trump up in a poll like that in his entire political career, even against Hillary, even against Biden in 2020, we never saw him leading in national polls. And I said, if he is up nationally, just imagine where he is in the battleground states. And now look, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin. By the way, you win those three, the race is over. Now you add in Pennsylvania, Nevada, Michigan, it's over. Total psychic domination. Total domination against Joe Biden. That's why they're freaking out right now. That's why Hillary Clinton is reappearing. That's why you got Gavin Newsom chomping at the bit. Kamala Harris, what does she do? She sent Joe Biden out to Vietnam on 9/11. Then she usurped his position at ground zero. Do you really think all of this is happening at random? And then what comes yesterday? The indictment of Hunter, the pressure on the Bidens. We're going to ratchet up the pressure. This is a preemptive October surprise that the Democrat Party is launching against their own sitting president. The reason being is they know this guy, who will be almost 90 years old by the time the second term is up, can't run. They don't want him as their standard bearer anymore, but he won't leave. Jeff Zients is making too much money, the White House chief of staff, off of all these green deals. The family knows that Hunter Biden, his problems aren't going away. The impeachment investigation isn't going away. Now they're digging into it. By the way, Republicans need to stand firm in the House. You need to push harder. You need to fight for these subpoenas. You need to bring all of this information forward. Kevin McCarthy, keep going. Keep going with whatever you're doing, because right now the pressure needs to be on. Advance. We're also on, by the way, indictment and verdict watch. We're on verdict watch for Ken Paxton down in Texas. Speaking of impeachments, because Ken Paxton, the jury is out, the verdict will be coming in soon. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Good, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. Can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events, Washington, D.C. And folks, there's a lot to be nervous out there. Open social media, turn on the news, and all you see is crime, societal decay. We had an illegal immigrant serial killer running loose in my family's neighborhood in Pennsylvania. A lot of people just run out and buy a gun, and then it sits in the safe. And if there's ever an emergency, they're not going to be prepared to run the risk of hurting themselves or other. Remember, the homeowner with that illegal immigrant, the Danilo Cavalcante situation, got off 7 shots on the illegal alien when he broke into his house to steal his .22 caliber rifle. Didn't hit him. Didn't hit him once. Folks, there's no way around it. You need to train. You have to train often. And unfortunately, we get it. It's time consuming to go to the range. And that's assuming there's one even nearby. Ammo prices are through the roof because of Bidenflation. But iTarget was invented so you could practice anytime in the safety and convenience of your own home. Simply download the iTarget Pro app, load your caliber-specific laser bullet into your firearm, and start training. You can practice alone, complete with friends, or use it to safely train with friends and family who are totally new to firearms. Just go to itargetpro.com and get 10% off at checkout when you use promo code POSO. This is the smartest, safest way to train, which is why competitive shooters trust dry firing training as part of their regimen. That's what I was taught in the military. Get yours today. That's letter I, targetpro.com, itargetpro.com, promo code POSO. Very excited to bring now in our next guest. He's joining us for the first time. It's Logan Hall. He's the new digital strategist for The Blaze. Logan, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me, Jack.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I tweeted earlier today, I said the Trump haters really seem like they have devolved into something of a cult. And look, and I know that people will say, oh, Trump supporters, it's cult 45. You're all just a bunch of cultists. And I talk to Trump supporters every day. And the difference is I do see people who will say, yes, I like Trump. And yes, I agree that, you know, there's certain things that he may have done or said that I don't necessarily agree with, but I still support him. And I think that he should be president. We're now seeing these huge poll numbers in all of the swing states in the Reuters Ipsos poll, which is an A-rated poll across the country. These are the battleground states, saying that Trump is dominating, total psychic domination. But Logan, if you can, walk us through what's going on right now with sort of the MAGA wing and the Never Trump wing of the party.
You have you have an interesting primary right now. Trump is clearly far and away the front runner. It's not really super close at this point. Nobody's been able to make a huge dent in his popularity with the base. You see people like Vivek, who has reached out and sort of offered them a leaf and just saying, look, I get it. We need you guys, but I want to be the future. But you also have this part of the base that is kind of, I just read an article from NBC News that said a lot of Trump supporters are just dead set on voting for him. They won't even consider anyone else in 2024. And this does make sense when you look at the landscape ever since politics as usual, has not worked against Trump since 2016. It's not working now. This election is still about what they did to him and what they are doing to him. And look, if you're one of Trump's voters, if you look at what's happening, it's hard to argue that you are a bigger threat to the system until your candidate has been completely deplatformed on social media, their home raided by the FBI and Biden's secret police, and arrested, perped, walked. I actually just drove a couple weeks ago. I just drove through Ohio and parts of West Virginia, and you only see Trump signs, all right? You only see Trump flags. You don't see any – I haven't seen one single sign or what are those things you put on your car? Sign or bumper sticker for anyone else.
Yeah, the bumper stickers, placards, anything.
Yeah, I did see one for I did see one for RFK recently, but that was about it.
There you go. No, I think the RFK thing is real with, like, suburban women because – you know, just anecdotally, my wife, I catch her the other day, said, what do you, she's got her headphones. I said, what do you listen to, sweetheart? She goes, oh, I'm listening to the Joe Rogan RFK podcast. And I look at her, I'm like, wait, you RFK, Joe Rogan. Like, she's not usually like a podcast listener. I said, what got you to that? She said, oh, all the moms in my mom group chat are talking about RFK. They're talking about his stance on vaccines. They're talking about the vaccine schedule for children. There's a real movement there. But at the same time, this is populist energy. And I think a lot of the Never Trumpers, what they decided to do was actually tie themselves into the sort of establishment conservative, you know, orthodoxy, that sort of Jeb Bush, Scott Walker kind of background. Really go all in on classical liberalism, these sort of really, really old forms of conservatism that, I'm sorry, they're frankly so tired and they're so not what the people are interested in right now. People want this full-throated national populism.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, the 2024 election isn't just about what they did to Trump or how bad the economy is, or the border.
Well, I think we got a little connection issue there, a little hiccup. But what Logan is saying is right. The 2024 election is actually about what we want to be as a country. The 2024 election is about, do we want to go back to being a Republican Party of tax cuts for the rich, and we're not going to do anything, and we're going to talk about privatizing Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, and be a party that runs nationally on these ideas that work really well in the Sun Belt and some areas of the country, the Bible Belt, and then just get blown out, absolutely blown out in the Electoral College. Logan, do we have you back?
Hey, sorry, I don't know what happened there. I apologize.
No, go ahead. We were talking about sort of the difference between the old style conservative ink and the new style national populism.
Yeah, it's very clear that the Republican Party very, very much, at least the establishment Republican Party, very much wants to go back to the status quo. They want to just look over everything that's happened since 2016. It's almost like how I don't even know how the leaders of the opposition party can be this out of touch with their base and what people want in the country. The old guard is still kind of panicking and they don't really know what to do. But again, this is about just the regime, right? It's the uniparty. The uniparty has helped Biden every step of the way with all the accomplishments, the infrastructure bill, the disaster, disastrous infrastructure bill that was filled with green energy handouts for leftists and all of Biden's friends. They helped him with gun control. And so it's hard to, if you take a step back and you are a Trump voter or a GOP voter, you say, what are these guys doing to represent my interests? They're giving money, $40 billion to Ukraine. They're out there saying that we need to protect Ukraine while America collapses. We have tens of millions of illegal immigrants. Our infrastructure is broken. There's just no real way for the Republican Party to move forward until they start addressing the concerns of their base. So if you are an establishment guy, you would look at this and say, hey, maybe we should listen to them. If you want to get rid of Trump, which is what the establishment people do want to do, then they should say, okay, we're going to actually start representing our base and listening to them as opposed to spitting on them at every turn.
Well, that's exactly right. They're constantly spitting on them, constantly attacking. There was a clip. Let me go and actually we'll play the clip in the next segment. But Logan, bottom line here, if you're the side of Never Trump right now, going into what seems to be a bruising primary season, what do you do? Do you double down? Do you keep going for it, or do you try to find a path towards some kind of coalition?
If they were smart, they would find a path towards a coalition, but they aren't very smart. So I think they're just going to keep flailing and attacking Trump and by extension his base. People forget that Trump is just a stand-in for the frustrations of a lot of forgotten America. So when they attack him, whether or not they are trying to attack his base, that's what the base feels like is going on. When they see all these relentless attacks by both sides, they say, okay, well, this is public enemy number one to DC, and DC hasn't helped me at all in my lifetime, so I'm gonna stay. It almost pushes them more into Trump's camp.
No, I think that's exactly right. Logan Hall, we're coming up on the break. Tell us, where can people go to follow you, to get more insight and follow what you're doing?
My personal, follow me on Twitter. It's Logan Clark Hall. And then make sure you follow Posobiec, Human Events, Real America's Voice, and The Blaze as well.
Logan's got some spicy takes on the Barbie movie. I don't know if I completely agree with them, but there is an interesting alternative take to some of the information that may have been involved in that movie regarding Kendom. Come back next. We're going to slice and dice these interviews that Trump did. Go follow Logan Hall. Human Events continue. Scott Pressler will join us later in the hour for an update from the field.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack? He's done a great job.
Operation Warp Speed, though.
Yeah.
That was on the vaccines. They were rushed through. They have helped but also hurt a lot of people. And your White House actually supported mask mandates. So wouldn't you like a do-over on any of that?
Look, when this came in, nobody knew what the hell it was. It sounded like an ancient, a pandemic. You thought that was from 200 years ago or from 1917. We never thought you'd have a pandemic. Nobody had any idea. We got word that bad things were happening in China right around the Wuhan clinic. And I was the one that said it was in the Wuhan clinic. Mm-hmm. And, I stuck with it. And it was absolutely. It came out of the Wuhan clinic. But you take a look. And what we did was, this was brand new. Nobody knew what the hell it was. There's dust. Somebody said there's dust coming in from China. And it's killing people in Italy. And it's killing people in France. And it's going to kill people here. And by the way, I shut it down to China. That was a big move. I saved thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives by doing it. But honestly, nobody, I don't blame a lot of people because nobody knew what it was. Now we do understand it somewhat. Nobody really understands it even now fully. But nobody knew what COVID was, and it wasn't even a name. I called it the China virus. I still do. I call it the China virus. It came out of China. You know, they call it COVID and COVID-19. As far as the vaccine's concerned, you had the original COVID.
So there's Donald Trump responding on COVID with Megyn Kelly, hard-hitting interview, and he's exactly right. This was China. This was a manufactured virus in a Chinese laboratory. And the fact of the matter remains that Donald Trump is the only person who's actually out there still placing blame where it belongs, on the Chinese Communist Party. And this is something that I have spoken about with him. China is the reason that all of these things happen. Don't get it twisted. People want to run around and make up all these conspiracies, basically, to try to blame COVID on Trump, which is ridiculous on its face. COVID came from a lab in Wuhan, China. Was Fauci involved? Was EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Daszak? Look, we've gone through the receipts, of course. But ultimately, it is the Chinese Communist Party. And all of those people who aided the Chinese Communist Party need to be held accountable. But if you really want to hold someone accountable for COVID-19, wouldn't that be China? And wouldn't that be by putting tariffs on the Chinese trade with the United States? Wouldn't that be decoupling from China to rebuild our Midwest, to restore our manufacturing base, to rebuild our South? It's about the money, folks. It's about money at the end of the day. And a businessman like Trump actually understands that. They cost us all this money. They caused all this harm to our people. The treatments caused further harm to our people. But we never would have had the problem to begin with if it wasn't for China. And Xi Jinping and the rest of the Communist Chinese Party have yet to be held to account for it. Period. Full stop. And Megyn Kelly, she's up there asking the questions. She didn't even ask about China. She didn't even bring up China when she asked the COVID question. So why wouldn't you ask about China? Why wouldn't you include China in that, the Wuhan lab where it actually originated? It's like people want to tell the story starting in the middle. Okay, no, tell the story at the beginning. The origin was the Wuhan lab, the gain-of-function research that went in there. Was Fauci part of that? Absolutely. Should he be held accountable for that? Yes, absolutely. But that is where the fault lies. How do you make these people pay? You make them pay through the nose, through tariffs. We have another clip that I want to get to. What number is it, guys? This is the clip. Right, and producer Foz is telling us, look at the credit card debt that's going on right now, the inflation, all of the things that everyone has to deal with. It's all because of China. And China has to pay. The American people need to be repaid. And China needs to pay through the nose. I want to play clip three now. This is a question on trans. Let's play clip three.
Can a man become a woman?
In my opinion, you have a man, you have a woman. I think part of it is birth. Can the man give birth? No. Although they'll come up with some.
You have a man, you have a woman. Can a man give birth? No. So this whole anti-trans movement that exists in whatever you call the IDW or whatever they're calling themselves these days, on the right, whatever. You have a lot of these classic liberals that picked up the anti-trans movement because they saw this as a way to sort of get back into the good graces of the audience after Trump won, because they said, look, okay, we're not going to be able to compete with MAGA and national populism and America First on any of his other issues, but sure, we'll be willing to say that if you have a penis, you are a boy, and if you have a vagina, you're a girl, which is, you know, a very tough stand, I know. But when you actually look at the record, who was the first person in government to actually fight back in a serious way against transgender movement? Oh, that's right. It was Donald J. Trump. Because on July 26, 2017, Donald Trump tweeted, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the United States military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you." 6 a.m. Actually started the tweet thread at 5:55 a.m. And I remember this. I remember doing media back then. People would call me up and say, "Hey, you're a Trump supporter. You're a veteran. How can you, do you support the military ban on trans? Do you support this?" And I said, I did. And I said, here's why. I support it because, number one, he's right. And for all the issues that he mentioned, he's right. And number two, there's lots of reasons that we preclude people from military service. If you have asthma, if you have bad eyesight, if you have debt issues, sometimes if you're a single parent, if you have criminal background, right, there's millions of reasons why people are denied military service on a regular basis. And if you are someone who's going through serious hormonal treatment, and someone that's going through actual mental disorders, right, because that's what gender dysphoria actually is before they took it out of the DSM, the big book of crazy, we don't need those on the front lines. Remember, back in 2017, we were still fighting the caliphate. This is not something, you need to be deployable when you're in the military. You need to be able to do work. And the purpose of the military, even though I know we've gotten far and away from this, the purpose of the military is to hurt people and break things. All right. And if you can't hurt people and break things in an expeditious manner where you need to be downrange, then guess what? I don't need you in my military and I don't want you in my military. It's the same thing for women in combat, et cetera, et cetera. It is not good for unit cohesion. It is not good for something called esprit de corps. And so let's see what else. Let's see what else. There was another line. Let's play clip six. Clip six. This one was interesting. Clip six.
I believe they far outweigh the other side. And so when you say, would I like to be at Turnberry in Scotland right now, or would I like to be at one of the many places I have, the greatest places in the world, I may never see those places again. But I think this is very important. I think that we're going to save our country. I think we're going to win the election. I'm beating Biden by a lot. I'm beating the Republicans by numbers nobody's ever seen before. But I'm beating Biden by a lot. And I'll turn it around, and I'll turn it around fast.
Donald Trump is a billionaire. Donald Trump has had a charmed life. That goes without saying. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need this fight. He doesn't need this aggravation. He could just walk off. He could go play golf for every single day for the rest of his life if he wanted to. And you know what? I think we all know that the charges, the indictments would all go away if he decided to just take his bag and go home. But he's not. This is a fight that he's in for the long haul. This is not a fight for him. And as Logan said earlier in the segment, he is a stand-in for the frustrations of the people of this country, the people of the middle class, the people of the working class, the people of the Midwest, the people of the South, the people who had to be evicted from their homes on Christmas Eve in Flint, Michigan, because the factory was moving overseas, because they were going to get parts from China, because they were going to get parts from Mexico. Well, what happened to the families? What happened to the people who lost their jobs and then couldn't afford their home anymore? Screw you, was the message that they got from General Motors. Screw you was the message that they got from the McCains and the Romneys and the Paul Ryans. And so that's our message back to all of you. We're done with you. We're putting you on the ash heap of conservative history. Classical liberalism has failed. it has completely been devastated, and the Never Trump movement has now been completely usurped by the populist movement of MAGA America First. And it is never going away. It's never going away. Even one day, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, 10 years from now, after Donald Trump finishes his rightful second term in office, this movement will still be ascendant. This movement will be the movement leading the party. And so if you want to be riding that wave with us, then come along. Come right along. I'm more than happy to have you with us. But I'm getting awful sick. I'm getting awful sick of the people who sit there with a straight face and deny reality when it is staring at them. You have lost. You are done. This is over. It's not even a conversation anymore. And I want to save this country for our people, for our children, and for our future. And you are currently standing in our way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
In my ear about the boring people at your office, I'm trying to listen to the new Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec. Now, I said that I wanted to talk about leaders. I said I wanted to talk about people who are fighting to save our country, to save what's left of our republic. I've even used the phrase that we are going to found a new American republic. And there is one person who's leading day in, day out in this fight, and his name is Scott Pressler. I've never seen a man, maybe outside of Trump himself, I've never seen a man with the amount of energy, the amount of passion that Scott Pressler has day in, day out. Scott, it's been a minute, man. Give us the Scott Pressler field update.
I'm here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are 1 month out from the gubernatorial election in Louisiana. Jeff Landry is the current attorney general running for governor. We have the opportunity to win the election outright on Saturday, October 14th. And so I'm making an appeal to everybody in Louisiana. I know that we have a group of wonderful Republican candidates, but let's come together as a family, let's coalesce behind Jeff Landry, and let's elect him outright as governor on Saturday, October 14th. Now, it's a football game. It's LSU versus Auburn. If you're not going to be in town, if you're a truck driver, if you're a pilot, if you're a police officer, then I'm asking you to vote early. You can go to sos.la.gov to find about your early voting locations and also find about absentee voting. But let's get it done for Jeff Landry on October 14th.
Well, and Scott, this is something, and I was just talking, I was going through the Megyn Kelly interview with Trump in the last segment, and this is something where I do think that I would like to hear Trump come out more in favor of, and this it comes to this issue that I know that you have really been such a leader on and a pioneer on here from our side of the aisle, and that's early voting. And yes, that means mail-in voting. And I know a lot of Republicans are not for this. They say, oh, this is different. It doesn't count as much. Scott, what would you say to the president or just people that are having those feelings, those mixed feelings about early voting?
Well, I mean, look, talk about Nevada. It snowed on Election Day. Precipitation, which used to help Republicans because everybody voted on one day, is now hurting us because the Democrats have already mail-in voted. They've already ballot harvested. They've already locked in their votes. And so anything that happens on Election Day, whether it's Carrie Lake having the machines go down, or whether it's Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, running out of paper ballots on Election Day, the fact of the matter is that if the majority of Republicans wait to vote on one day, that gives a very limited amount of time that if things go wrong within 12 hours, well, it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt Republicans. And it also means that we need to do a better job about educating voters. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but look, I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that they have 50 days of early voting. Now, it's semantics. early voting is actually a mail-in ballot, but you can go to your elections office in person and vote a mail-in ballot, that it's not going into a drop box. It's not going to the United States Postal Service, but it's going hand to glove to your elections officer to make sure that we're locking in that vote early. And let me tell you, the last thing is Judge Carolyn Carluccio is running for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And I need Republicans to hear me loudly and clearly. If we are unable to win this election to the Supreme Court this November, on November 7th, we as the Republican Party will be unable to take back the court until 2035.
That's exactly right. And I understand Pennsylvania like the back of my hand. And this Supreme Court, the Democrats have had a supermajority on it for such a long time now. This is why so many of those cases regarding the 2020 election were overturned. This is why so many of the laws were just completely overridden in the name of COVID in Pennsylvania. If you want to win Pennsylvania, this is what I'm telling people. Look, you got the Reuters Ipsos poll right out there that says Trump-Biden, Trump is up by 6 in Pennsylvania. But of course, that's based on voters. The Democrats understand that they have a machine that will take a candidate like John Fetterman in the state of Pennsylvania, who's now my senator, and put him up, because it doesn't matter candidate quality anymore in states that have these machines. That is why, unfortunately, until we have power back, we need to be embracing these methods that Scott Pressler is explaining to us. This idea of, look, you can still go and vote on election day, Scott. So walk people through that. They can put a vote in early and then still go vote on election day. Isn't that right?
Well, what you're saying is you can request a mail-in ballot as your plan B. And if you choose that you don't want to vote the mail-in ballot, but you want to bring it on election day, surrender it, have them spoil it, and then vote in person on election day, you certainly can do that. That's an option.
Yes.
But I want to take this into action. I want to direct people what they can do right now to make sure that we're going to win this November. Well, I have an application with my organization, Early Vote Action, called Early Vote Action. It's on Android, it's on iPhone. And so we're doing a national day of action on Saturday, September 23rd, especially if you live in Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia. I'm asking everybody to download the application, and I'm simply asking for you to knock on 5 doors, just 5. And these aren't Stacey Abrams voters. These aren't John Fetterman voters. To knock on 5 registered Republican doors, base voters, and simply say, hey, my name is Jack Wasobick. I'm your Republican neighbor, and I'm asking you to come out this November for our elections, whether it's one of those 6 states that I mentioned. And if everybody knocks on 5 doors, oh my gosh, we will get people out in this off-year election, and we will have resounding victory this November.
Well, and Scott, that's part of actually building out the universe of those voters for the 2024 election, too, because what you're actually doing is, yes, as you say, you're attempting to target based voters. But of course, the more data we get from these interactions is only the better numbers and the better data that we'll have going into 24. Isn't that right?
Well, and not only that, but in addition to reaching out to voters and just simply turning them out, because the fact of the matter is 150,000 Republicans in Nevada didn't vote in 2022. 126 registered Republicans in Oregon didn't vote in 2022. So yes, we are focusing on the base, but we're also doing letter writing campaigns to new movers. We stopped it in Louisiana because the last day to register to vote online is the 23rd, but we're currently doing a letter writing campaign to new movers in Kentucky to elect Daniel Cameron as governor this November. And I'll tell you, in Pennsylvania, I have a list of 40,000 new movers to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. If you would like to write letters to make sure that these new movers get registered to vote, get registered as Republicans because it's a closed primary state, and make a plan to vote in this November and beyond, then please go to earlyvoteaction.com, sign up to write letters, and you will literally be helping to add to the electorate to make sure that we win this November and next year.
Look, I've told candidates, and I say it on the show so many times, in the American political system, it is not the quality of your votes that matters. It is the quantity of your votes that matters. Is that the best way to run a government? Right. That's a philosophical discussion. That's a totally separate discussion. But under the system that we have, it is the quantity of votes. It is simple as that. And Scott, it seems as though, and we're coming up a break here in a minute, but it seems as though there's so many candidates that just don't seem to get that yet.
You hit the nail on the head. We have currently President Joe Biden and Senator John Fetterman. With all due respect, when people equality, no, this is about getting ballots into boxes, period.
That's exactly right, because what they've done in state after state, and so many of these are still in the books. Wisconsin, they're still in the books. Pennsylvania, they're still in the books. We've had some success on getting it off in Georgia, but not really. They've recreated the system of elections. And yes, there is a civil exodus that's going on in this country right now. That's why Florida has trended so red. That's why some of these other states are trending red. At the same time, we have to understand that we're not doing the vote. They've changed the rules. It's not vote in person, one vote anymore. Now it's a ballot collection operation. A ballot collection operation whereby in the most pieces of paper that go into one of those boxes, be it a drop box, a mailbox, or the ballot box on election day, that's how you win the election. And that's where their focus is. It's tactical. It's not strategic. That's why Scott Pressler and the Pressler plan are key to our victory going forward.
Working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Okay, Jack Posobiec, we're back here live. We're talking about the Pressler plan to help take back our country. We understand the Democrats' machine. Charlie Kirk did an excellent monologue earlier this week breaking down exactly how that machine works. But Scott Pressler is also here, and he's got the plan, earlyvoteaction.com, to build our own movement to combat the Democrats' machine. Scott, what do you guys have working on? What do you have in the works coming up with the movement?
Well, first, in preparation for 2024, we're focused on this November 2023. As I said,
yes.
Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. If you want to make sure that we're defeating Joe Biden and electing a completely Republican government next year, then especially if you live in Virginia, get out and vote this November. If we pick up two state Senate seats, Governor Glenn Youngkin has a completely conservative legislature. And so if you're looking for direct action that you can take right now, go to earlyvoteaction.com, sign up to write letters, and I'll immediately get you started, for example, in Kentucky. And again, you can download my application, Early Vote Action, on Android or iPhone. I'm asking you to knock on five of your neighbors' doors. Sure, you can do more, but getting out five of your Republican neighbors this November, if everybody does that, we will be getting out the base and we will have victory this November.
And this is so key that people need to understand. Look, we're up when people see, like, I always talk about this, the Dylan Mulvaney's of the world, the TikTokers, the other influencers, you know, we laugh. We sit there and we laugh and we say, oh, ha ha, that's funny. Look, they're all being invited to the White House. What a joke. People need to understand that what the Democrats are doing is they've leveraged TikTok influencers. They leveraged Instagram influencers. They're using them to drive out registration. They're using them to drive out early voting. They're using them to drive out ballot access measures, and they haven't quit. They're canvassing every single day. So when you see the TikTokers go to the White House, when you see Dylan Mulvaney, people need to understand this is an operation, a very advanced operation that you're looking at. And we on the right, we don't have anything like this to match it yet. Scott, why is it that you think that Democrats have been so much more effective in these operations?
Well, I think they listen. You know, with all due respect, I've been reaching out to the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee for a consecutive 154 days without a response. And even talking about simply doing a Twitter space. I think Twitter spaces are one of the most influential ways to reach out to people, to educate them, to activate them. And I have no clue why we as a party are not using this organizational tool to help activate more people. But, you know, one thing that I really want to educate our base on right now is, guys, one third of Nevada are registered independents. That is a closed primary state, and you are not going to be able to choose our next Republican presidential candidate unless you're registered as a Republican. In Arizona, there's a growing independent base in that state, and they have presidential preference elections. Again, if you want to vote for a Republican presidential candidate in the election next year, you must be registered as a Republican. So we must really, as a party, do a better job educating the base on these different legalities, because otherwise, while the Democrats are getting their people registered and while they're getting them out in the primary elections, we're going to have one third of the population that is not going to be able to participate.
It's so simple. Just go to vote.gov. You can go to vote.gov right now. You can check your registration status. You can check where you are. You can check how to register. You can check districts. It's actually incredibly simple. And yet, Scott, outside of yourself and when we do these segments, I don't even hear. People want to talk about Hunter Biden and all these different things. Great. That's fine. But at the end of the day, if you're not putting points on the board, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, I type into Google every day voter registration and I click on news. And I know that sounds nerdy, but I just learned something new myself, that in Georgia, apparently Governor Kemp signed legislation into law that allows citizens to challenge voter registrations. And so this woman in DeKalb County, she was challenging 98 voter registrations on the rolls where people had been registered to vote in 1900. And it's about knowing things like in California, you don't just cancel your voter registration. You have to sign a piece of paper, send it to your county that you were registered in, and literally cancel your voter registration. Otherwise, in a state like California or Nevada, which is a universal mail-in state, you're going to receive an actual mail-in ballot, an actual ballot, if you have not canceled your voter registration. So these pieces of knowledge are so important to make sure that we are fighting for election integrity and that we're mitigating fraud to stop the abuse going into this year's election.
That's exactly right. You can actually take your own action to fight for, if you've moved, if you know moved, if you know your friend moved, they had somebody moved, you had friends that were in California, they just moved out. Hey, did you check? Did you cancel your registration? Is there a possibility for fraud because somebody's sending and one of these universal mail-in ballots to your address? This is so simple. And what we need are millions of people doing this individually. Scott, where can people go to get more information, to find out about your next activities?
Please, you can go to my Twitter account, at Scott Pressler. I just posted my schedule. I'll be going to Penn State University to go frat house hopping on Monday to get all their fraternity
Nittany Lions, baby.
Ready.
We are.
And you can also go to earlyvoteaction.com.
All right, Scott Pressler, excuse me, Scott Pressler, always a pleasure, my friends. I got getting mixed up here. Folks, it's Fired Up Friday. We're fired up. Scott Pressler, he's fired up. But let me tell you something. This is only the beginning. We need to bring this fight to the dinner table and beyond. College kids, adopt a senior. Have those uncomfortable conversations at the water cooler. Ask your neighbors if they're actually happy, if they're actually thriving under Biden's America. We all know the answer. The Biden regime and the overstate are trying to destroy our country, but we won't let them. We can't let them. MAGA psychic energy will prevail. We have a country to save. And the never Trumpers and the naysayers, it's time for you to get out of our way. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay a shroud.